Well, good morning to everyone, and I want to thank the community for the invitation to speak at this symposium. I'm a research agricultural engineer with the Agricultural Research Service, and I want to acknowledge co-authors on this presentation, Dr. Steve Evitz and Dr. Paul Calazzi. We are located in Bushland, Texas, which is about 12 miles west of Amarillo, and in an area that overlies the Ogallala Aquifer. It's a non-replenishing aquifer. About 90% or over 90% of the water withdrawn is for agricultural purposes. But we do have a goal in mind. How do we sustain crop yields with limited water supply? And so that's part of the impetus of this work that I want to share with you this morning. But first, to acknowledge funding. Majority of funding for this project comes from the Ogallala Aquifer project. Also, we've received support from Valmont Industries and the United Sorghum Checkoff Program. I kind of feel dwarfed by this podium here. To give you an overview of my presentation so you can see where I'm headed, I'll talk about the uses of infrared thermometry in agriculture and attributes of infrared radiation, just as some background information. And then go into the materials and methods that we use for our system, the wireless sensors, the irrigation equipment, and talk about the plant feedback algorithm for irrigation scheduling. And then I'll go into some results of yields and water use efficiency and talk a bit about spatial and temporal mapping at the field scale level and wrap up with conclusions. So as a matter of introduction, infrared thermometry has been around for more than half a century now, and was first used to characterize crop water stress in the late 1960s. We're using the key assumption that a well-watered crop will transpire at its maximum potential rate, resulting in lower leaf temperatures than air temperature. But as water deficit increases and transpiration decreases, then the leaf temperature rises relative to air temperature, and then we can measure this again with the infrared thermometry. Infrared thermometry, though, is also used to investigate phenotypic differences, detect biotic stress, predict crop yields. Pinter did that years ago. Estimate ET using two-source energy balance. Dr. Paul Calazzi investigates that quite extensively, as do others. But we're focusing on using it to schedule irrigations and control water use efficiency. And we're doing so using crop water stress indices, which I'll go into. But first, let me talk about the electromagnetic spectrum a bit. As you see with the green horizontal bar, the gamma rays are the shortest wavelength rays with the highest energy and ranging all the way to the long radial waves. And we get this cursor up here. Visible light. Is something, again, that the first speaker talked about, and then next to that is the infrared range. The infrared bandwidth is generally described as being in the range of 780 nanometers to 300 micrometers. And so the infrared sensors can detect radiation in this range. But the reason I bring that up is that infrared thermometers, the way they work is they filter radiation in a certain band region. And the peak wavelength of radiation from plants is approximately 10 micrometers. And so if you're using infrared thermometry to detect radiation or temperature from plants, you want to look at sensors that filter in that range. And so the infrared thermometers that we use have a filter in the 8 to 12 micrometer range. And so this is a block diagram of an infrared thermometer that we use, a wireless infrared thermometer. And so you can see the black hole is the aperture, collects the light, collimates the light, and then the lens further focuses the light on to the detector. And it's the detector that transduces the voltage to a temperature output. And since we have a wireless system, the output is digital. So why use canopy temperature sensing for scientific irrigation scheduling? Well, the measurements of canopy temperature, they effectively assess plant water status. Probably detect plant water status more easily than looking at soil water content. Monitoring is non-invasive. And then with wireless instrumentation, the coverage can be scalable to a large number of sensors, and therefore you can detect crop water stress over large-sized fields. And also wireless infrared thermometry, wireless sensor network systems allow for continuous measurement. And why scientific irrigation scheduling? Why is that important? Well, certainly to reduce runoff from irrigation, decrease deep percolation below the root zone, which can cause your nutrients to wash below the root zone, decrease yields. You can also control soil water depletion to reduce ET at non-sensitive growth stages or meet crop ET demands during critical growth stages. So we're talking about regulated deficit irrigation strategies. You can use that to improve crop water productivity, and then again to control water use efficiencies, which is important in the case where farmers have limited well capacity. So when we do infrared thermometry for irrigation scheduling at Bushland, we compare the automatic or the plant feedback system to manual irrigation scheduling methods. And so when I talk about automatic irrigation scheduling, I'm talking about basing it on a thermal stress index. And we now use an integrated crop water stress index where we calculate the crop water stress index over daylight hours. And one of the reasons for this is that we can reduce the variability. A lot of people talk about cloud cover when measuring crop canopy temperature. Cloud cover can be variable, but if you take canopy temperature measurements continuously over daylight hours, you can reduce some of that variability, and also variability due to other environmental parameters. When I talk about manual-based irrigation scheduling, I'm talking about irrigation scheduling based on readings from a field-calibrated neutron probe. So we take soil water content readings from neutron access to a depth of 2.4 meters at 20-centimeter depth. So. And when we compare the output, we compare crop yield and the amount of irrigation applied, seasonal crop water use, and water use efficiencies, both biomass, grain yield, and then irrigation water use efficiencies. So to move into materials and methods, looking at the wireless sensors. Here we have a stationary wireless sensor. It's battery powered and using a solar panel. And these are the sensors that we first developed at Bushland, so we're looking sorghum. And here we have an infrared thermometer that's on a mast on a moving irrigation system, on a center pivot system. And then a move to commercialize our system, and Dynamax is working on that with us. Now the entire irrigation system itself, here's our three-span center pivot. It's over a cotton field. And again, you can see the mast. And then the infrared thermometers are forward of the drop hoses. So the pivot would move in this direction, and the infrared thermometers would see a dry canopy. If we look at the complete wireless sensor network system, at the pivot point we have a host computer, and this computer collects data from the infrared thermometers that are located off of the pivot and from the stationary infrared thermometers, as well as data from the weather station. And so if we have this centralized data management unit here, we can easily remote into this embedded computer and look at the operation of the center pivot and the operation of the wireless sensor network system. So in order to limit the influence of soil background and sun angle effect, we place two infrared thermometers at the border of each concentric plot. So as the pivot moves, we take the average of the infrared thermometer temperature. And since the infrared thermometers are placed at an oblique angle, it helps to limit the soil background effect. So we look more so at canopy rather than soil. We are also working on a multi-band sensor so that we can discriminate between the temperature. And if the temperature is contributed by soil, then we wouldn't use that for the irrigation scheduling. As far as the integrated crop water stress index, we use a theoretical crop water stress index that was first described by Jackson and others in 1981, re-examined in a journal article in 1988. And hence, that's why we're measuring the environmental factors, and that's why we have the weather station nearby the pivot system. But again, we're calculating the crop water stress index over daylight hours, and we do that over each treatment plot or over each management zone. And since we have the sensors mounted on the pivot, we're taking the temperature of the field at different times of the day. And so we use the temperature scaling algorithm so that we can estimate diurnal canopy temperature using a one time of day remote temperature measurement and an early morning temperature and a reference temperature curve. This way, we estimate diurnal temperature for each management zone, for each remote location, or we can look at temperature across the field at the same time of day by using the scaling method. So this is kind of a summary. We use the variable rate irrigation system, integrate the plant feedback system with the backbone being the wireless sensor network of infrared thermometers. We're building prescription maps because we're using a variable rate irrigation system to control the irrigation depth across the field. We can control irrigation depth along the center pivot pipeline and in the direction of pivot travel. And so with the automatic plots, we're scheduling irrigations based on what the crop is telling us. And for the manual plots, we're applying irrigation to replace soil water depletion to field capacity. And again, that's dependent on a neutron probe measurements. So here's an example of a plot plan for our grain sorghum field. We took a quarter of the field and we divided it into four sectors and eight concentric plots. And then we randomized the methods of irrigation, both manual and automatic, radially and concentrically. And then we had five irrigation levels for the automatic plots, 80, 65, 50, 30, and 0% replenishment soil water depletion to field capacity. And the way we achieved those was through crop water stress index thresholds. So the higher the threshold, the less frequent would be the irrigation. And here's a plot plan for our cotton field under the three-span center pivot for that photograph that I showed. And then here we divided the field into seven sectors and we had four concentric plots. And again, we randomized the method of irrigation radially and concentrically as well as the irrigation treatment levels. And the irrigation treatment levels for the cotton were at rates of 75, 50, 25%, and 0%. Soil water depletion to field capacity. So let me show you some of the results. In order to interact with this SCADA system, again, this is the combination of the variable rate and wireless sensor network and plant feedback system, we had a graphical user interface so we could input the manual amount that we needed to irrigate the manual plot. And then we would push a button to generate the prescription map, and the map would be generated based on those manual amounts, but also the integrated crop water stress index values that were calculated at the host computer and based on canopy temperature and the microclimatological data. Send the prescription map to the panel and then start the irrigation. And so in this photograph here, you see the prescription map that was built for a particular day. So we had dynamic prescription maps. We would build the prescription map every 2 days to irrigate the field. And this blue swath here is actually a border that we had. The green plots represent the automatic plots for that day that had received an irrigation signal. And then the blue, pink, and orange represent the manual plots where the water was applied at these differential rates. And in this slide here, we see yield versus crop water use, grain yield. And so in the blue symbols represent yields from the manual plots, and the red symbols represent yields from the automatic plots. And so our goal is to shift the slope of the automatic yield towards the manual plots. But again, you have to realize that the manual plots irrigation was achieved under very tight measurements. We are averaging soil water measurements for the irrigation treatment plots in order to irrigate the manual plots. But for the automatic plots, we were using crop water stress index, the integrated crop water stress index, for each treatment plot, for each automatic treatment plot, independent of the other automatic treatment plot. In this graph here, it shows controlling water use efficiency. And so we have water use efficiency on the y-axis versus irrigation depth. And so the goal would be to improve water use efficiency using the automatic method. And again, we see the same curvature. And actually here, even though the automatic symbols lie below the manual symbols, they were not significantly different. But again, this is a way to measure how can you control water use efficiency by using the irrigation, the integrated crop water stress index thresholds. And then looking at our cotton experiment, again, this was a prescription map that was developed on a specific day to irrigate the cotton. And in this graph here, we see the relationship between lint yield and seasonal crop water use for both the manual and automatic irrigated treatment plots. So we see a very linear result for both of those. And so the plant feedback system performed similar to the manual methods in this cotton research project. From the conclusions that I had, the plant feedback system that we're using, it can be used for scientific irrigation scheduling. Besides time management, it allows the farmer to be able to produce yields that are similar to a method that would be used in using direct soil water measurements. The wireless sensor network system, using the plant sensors on the moving irrigation system, it can provide water stress detection and monitoring at the field scale level. And many of the farmers in the Great Plains region manage a number of center pivot systems. Detection is both spatial and temporal, and allows for the development of these prescription maps to address the variable crop water needs throughout the irrigation season. And again, we're working to control the irrigations at the lower treatment levels, so we can improve upon on those results. And in ending, that's all I have. So thank you.
Obviously, you need to take your readings during the daytime, talking about doing a prescription map.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can. I'm trying to summarize the question to you. So, if we're using this system and a farmer irrigates 24 hours a day, and our system only works in daylight hours, how are we going to overcome that particular issue? So, let me address that. Do farmers need to irrigate their pivots 24 hours a day? That's one thing. What we're doing now is we are building mats continuously, okay? And on our six-span center pivots, we did that for this past year. And so we use the most recent information that we have, and we rebuild that mat as the pivot moves across the field. And so we're using that data, and we found that data, ours was a 3.5 day interval, that data works sufficiently enough so that we can irrigate to keep up with the manual irrigation schedule methods. We did that on corn the past year. And a lot of the farmers in our area have now gone to half pivot fields. And so they can perhaps use the windshield wiper because it doesn't matter which direction that the pivot is moving. So that's another way we can look at this. We don't believe that infrared thermometry alone is the way to go. We believe that integrating the soil water sensors is the next step. We'll be working on that. And the second part of your question, I'm not sure.
Well, just to kind of compound that is that some people that have higher capacities in a lot of areas also will benefit from a load control manning program from their electric companies where they shut the pivot off during the daylight hours when air conditioners, you know, are using electricity, and so thus you even lose less of the daylight hours. And so, but what you said makes sense for both questions. Thanks.
My question was, if you found any correlation between the thermometry and volumetric water content?
Yeah. I did. I spoke at a symposium yesterday, and I talked about the relationship between the integrated crop water stress index, soil water content, and the relationship between the integrated crop water stress index and ET. And they're quite linear, especially over the, you know, the further you go within the irrigation season, the linearity increases. But I didn't want to repeat that slide here, but yes,
one
we have seen a good correlation.
We grow tomatoes, you know, we go straight lines here in the valley, San Joaquin Valley. You mount the sensor in an ATV, you know, or in a port cycle, whatever. Mm-hmm. Is it effective measurement? Does it work? You know, you put it in a pivot, I understand, but what if you put it in an ATV?
And we're talking about
yes.
Row crops and
yes,
yeah.
And take measurements, you know, in different spots of the field. Does
sure.
it work that way?
I think you would. I think it could work, and what you have to do is be aware of some of the things that I talked about earlier. With you have to know the field of view of the sensor and the angle at which you're viewing your plant. You want to minimize soil background. You want to minimize the amount of soil within the field of view. So you would put it at a particular angle, and that would depend on the height above the crop and then the spacing, the row spacing of the crop. And then again, sun angle effects. So you might, you know, maybe you could amount two within that ATV, because that has helped us.
Okay, thank you.
Any
other
questions?
I have a question. Hopefully, she can diffuse it quickly. Working in both ends of the spectrum here, I wonder why you don't use, say, 125% of the deficit of ET deficit of the crop, because your graphs indicate there's still opportunity to go further out on the yield curve. Now I've forgotten. Well, curious, now, did you ever try nighttime infrared readings, given that if there is a moisture deficit of the soil, there might still be plants that are thermally stressed during the evening?
The last question I'll take first. Have I ever tried this at nighttime? No, I haven't. What we do see is at night, and especially in the early morning hours, you know, the temperature of the object that you're looking at comes to the same temperature as air. So you're really not gaining that much information. Although when you run the pivot continuously, again, you know, you still are able to map this out. So if that correlates with your question at all, that's where we would use soil water information, where the pivot is crossing areas on non-daylight hours. The reason we're using such deficit levels is because limited water capacities that farmers are experiencing.
I recognize that. The irrigation study I did, we went up to